I don't want to go overboard here, but this is one of the more important Giant games that they have played in the last couple of seasons, because if they win, the conversation about the season changes completely. I mean, you're talking about now 3-4, having beaten two legitimately good football teams, getting a huge win on the road. Now, I'm not saying that the train just stops in its tracks if they lose. No, absolutely not. Still a lot of positive things. However, if they do win this game, I mean, we are coming in on Monday and Giant fans are going to be doing backflips. Have you seen the spread on this game yet? Have you taken a look at the spreads on FanDuel Sportsbook
yet? I have
yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay, good. So then we can have a little fun with this.
I think the Broncos have a 7-game home winning streak, which I think is the longest in the NFL, maybe 8, maybe?
Okay.
7 or 8, I think. I read that where they, you know, they're pretty tough to beat at home. You know, Sean's got that thing going. Look, this is the big question for me will be the travel that they've gone through over the last 10 days.
Yeah.
And how that affects them.
And the Giants are coming off a little bit of a long week.
Right. And, you know, so I would think all that part of it is in the Giants' favor. But, you know, I can't imagine that Bo Nix is going to play and that offense is going to play as poorly as they did against the Jets.
It would be impossible. I mean, that was a putrid performance.
Both sides, but they just had a little bit more. They actually threw the ball a little bit
more. Yeah, I mean, the Giants' defense much better than the Jets' defense, at least up until this point.
The problem that you're going to have is you're going to have a rookie quarterback on the road, very loud stadium, and a team in Denver with the defense that has the most sacks on third down. Now, some of those sacks came because of you know, Justin Fields holding on to the ball last week and kind of skews some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But even going into that game, they had the most sacks on third down. So they get after the quarterback, and they have a number of guys on this team that have sacks. It's not just one guy, although they do have Nick Bedito, who is leading the league in sacks with 8.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds like a guy I went to high school with.
Yeah, he does.
Nick Bedino.
Bedito.
So what do you think it is? Broncos favored by what out in Denver?
On 6?
It's 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook. Yeah, 7 right now. We might have talked about this one. Panthers at Jets, the spread. I think we might have talked about this one.
Are the Panthers favored like by 1.5?
Yeah. Yep, Panthers minus 1.5. What do you think Eagles at Vikings is? That's a tricky one.
The Vikings are my play of the week this week.
Ooh, giving me a little insight into.
I also want to make you happy.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't necessarily make me happy. Because I'm like, you know, what we say has no indication on the football game.
Yeah, I know. I would say that are the maybe Eagles favored by 2.5?
Yeah, Eagles minus 2.5. Yes, yes, yes.
I like the home dog there.
At Minnesota. Coming off a bye week, by the way. With all the stuff going on.
We know what's going on with J.J. McCarthy.
Well, he's not playing this week.
He's definitely not playing this week.
Yeah. I mean, unless something drastically changes, right? He is not playing. I mean, he's... Well, maybe that's changed. That might have changed.
That's why I was asking you.
Yeah.
What was going on? I figured that since you're so in tune to the Vikings.
No. I thought it was going to be next week. It might be this week. Yeah. All right. So oh, crap. Now don't take the Vikings.
Yeah, no. I was hoping that Carson Wentz would get a chance to go against up his old team, you know?
Yeah.
I might have to change my thinking there.
So this is what happened was, so Jonathan Grenard, the defensive end, spoke out of turn.
Oh.
So they weren't going to say that he was going to be back so early, and then he just spoiled it. He goes, yeah, he'll probably be back this week. I think he will.
Who do you think, two teams, I'm going to give you two teams, who do you think are the two teams that have the most penalty yards per game against them?
Jets?
Nope.
Browns?
Nope.
The Eagles?
Nope.
Well, I don't know then, man. I have no idea.
The Giants and the Broncos.
The Giants?
Giants are averaging 78 yards per game in penalties.
Well, that sucks.
Broncos, 74 yards, almost 75. 74.7.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
That surprises me.
It does.
I would have thought it would have been two worse teams. I could have sworn the Jets would have been up there for sure. Yeah. That's funny because, yeah, I really thought it was going to be another week for him, and then the Jonathan Grenard just flat out says it's going to be J.J. McCarthy.
All right. Sports Talk on WFAN presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL on CBS Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
All right. How about Commanders at Cowboys?
Commanders at Cowboys.
Guess the spread with Boomer Esiason.
I'm going to say
on FanDuel Sportsbook.
The Cowboys are favored by 2.5.
No. Commanders minus 1.5 at Dallas.
That was
Commanders.
Oof.
What's another good matchup? There's a couple good matchups here. How about Niners hosting the Falcons on Sunday Night Football?
How about the Falcons back-to-back primetime games?
I know. And they're actually
John Robinson, baby.
Somewhat exciting.
They are exciting.
Got a great defensive coordinator there in Atlanta. You know his name?
Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah. Niners hosting the Falcons. Sunday Night Football.
Niners by 2?
2.5. Nice job.
I don't think people are really sold on the Falcons as yet. You know, they're just, everybody kind of waits for them.
Yeah.
Like to do something stupid, like go to Carolina and get shut out.
There's a lot of interesting games, I got to say. A lot of interesting games this week as compared to last week, where there were not at all any interesting games. I'll give you one more. I'll give you Rams. Oh, no, that's in London.
That's in London, right?
Yeah. Yeah, screw that one. London sucks. Those games are terrible. Colts at Chargers.
Colts at Chargers. Damn. Chargers favored by 2.5.
1.5. Big time respect there for the Indianapolis Colts and Daniel Jones.
And plus the injuries that the Chargers are dealing with.
Yeah.
You remember, you know, the Colts, hey, good solid roster, good solid defense. Daniel's playing terrific. You know, Justin Herbert, maybe, you know, he's been under pressure the last couple weeks.
Do you think if a sports book came to you and said, listen, we want you to set the lines, and we really think that you're going to set them so the house wins and we make money this week, you think you could do it? Like, do a good job at it?
I mean, I would have to. I mean, usually what I'm doing is I'm just thinking about the points that each team is scoring, and that's how I'm trying to equate what I come up with.
I mean, a lot of it's all algorithm. All of us algorithm based now, but it used to be that like a dude would do it.
A dude
would do it.
Yep.
Be like, listen, this is what I think. 5.5, 4.5, 3.5. And you got to figure out a way to convince maybe one side to take something or another, and then you got to put the minus.
Yeah, so I'm not. Everything. So the one thing that I am not thinking about is how I would entice a guy to gamble on the game. You know what I'm saying? Which is what they do.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking clearly just by what I think is going to happen by sitting here for 19 years.
Well, I'm excited because Friday's the first time we're doing our own picks. See how we do. But now I know one of the games you're taking. So
I don't know about that game now if J.J. McCarthy's playing.
It sounds like he is. And we'll find out, I'm sure, by Friday, unless Kevin O'Connell really wants to be cheeky about it and not tell anybody. But his defensive end already told
him. That would suck if you're Carson Wentz. I mean, you'd want a shot at this Philadelphia defense.
Yeah.
You really would. Now, everybody healthy on that offensive line for the Vikings now?
I got to see.
Pretty much Darisaw coming back?
Yeah, well, Darisaw's been okay. It's O'Neal who's the problem, the right tackle.
Okay.
See if he's practicing. You can't make this your freaking game of the week if you don't. Let's see. Brian O'Neal diagnosed with MCL sprain.
Was that over in London?
That was 2 weeks ago. So, don't know yet. Got to look at the practice reports today.
How about the Giants over-under?
The over-under on points in the game?
Yeah, it's 40.5.
Okay.
What do you think? Could you see like a, I could see like a 23-20 game.
Yeah, I like the over. I like the over in that game. And it's a lot.
The
low
thing
number.
About both teams. The Giants are 4-2 under, and Denver is 4-1 under.
Oh, really?
Yes. Trending.
Trending. Stat pack. Trending chapter.
You got to watch out for those trends, though, sometimes, too. You know?
Yep.
But that's a pretty significant trend, 4 out of 5 for both teams.
Here's a real trend if you want to know something.
Yeah.
So the Broncos are favored by 7 over the Giants.
Uh-huh.
So Bo Nix is 11-0 straight up in career when favored by 2 or more points.
Wow. In his short career.
11-0.
Wow. Okay. That's another thing. I don't know if I'm going to pick that game or not. Thank God we don't have to. If we don't want to.
Yeah, the reason the under is because Denver plays all their games are low scoring.
Remember we checked beginning of the week with the Jets? That was like 2 days ago. Jets, Carolina.
Yes.
Tickets. It's gone. I think it was $66 to get in a couple days ago. I think it's gotten better or worse.
I would think that it's gotten worse.
It has to have been, right? Let's see. Here we go. Jets, Carolina. And the lowest ticket, it's $60. So it's just gone down a little bit. $60 to go to the game. By Friday, I would imagine by Sunday morning, it's going to be pennies on the dollar. I mean, you can get, wow, man, oh, man. If you want to go to a football game,
yeah,
this is the game to go to. If you like want, if you have a son or a daughter or someone who's never been to a game that doesn't care what's going on and doesn't know the Jets suck.
You want to put your son and daughter in a situation where Jet fans are going to be like just absolutely insane?
Good point.
I mean, you got to think
about
that.
It depends how old they are. But if you're like, ah, man, you know, I've never been to a dad. I really want to go to a football game.
The parking would be more expensive than the ticket.
I mean, you can sit like on the 20-yard line, like 20 rows back. For $136 a ticket, which is nothing for an NFL game. $102 here in the corner. It's like, and they say like they have the deals on it for like on some of the sites. Like it'll be like a fire emoji. Like that's the one that's you want to go for. And they're all over the place. 114 people are. Nobody wants to go to this game. No Jet fan with season tickets wants any part of this horrible football game.
Which is unfortunately a message that the ownership and the business side of the football team actually pays attention to.
Yeah, and if
the question is how patient are they going to be? Are they going to be patient enough to allow Aaron Glenn to try and Darren Bucci to legitimately try to turn this whole thing around? And, you know, we heard Aaron talking earlier in the season about how hard this is going to be, some of the things that they're going through, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on that we don't see. And the question really ultimately comes back to Woody Johnson, Christopher Johnson. How patient are they going to be? How are they going to live through all of this, especially when it gets amplified on these ticket sites like this?
Yeah. I mean, I think a bigger thing is, too, if they do end up with the number one overall pick and the offenses look terrible, do they trust Tanner Engstrom and to a lesser degree, because Aaron Glenn's a head coach, but he's a defensive guy, in developing that person. Like, if they go 0-16 and then their offense looks like it did, or 0-17, and the offense looks the way that it did last week for a bunch of the games, even with Tyrod Taylor or Justin Fields, then you're like, well, I can't bring a number one overall pick into this slop.
Well, there could be a guy that's available as an offense coordinator next year if you're interested.
Frank Reich?
No.
You?
No.
John Gruden?
No, you wouldn't bring him in as an offense coordinator? No, of course not. You'd only bring him in as a head coach.
Someone who's available as an offensive coordinator?
Could be available, yeah. Because, you know, they'll probably...
Mike McDaniel?
Yes.
Huh. That'd be fun. Mike McDaniel under who? Have to be someone with a ball sack.
Well, under Aaron Glenn.
Oh, you're saying fire Tanner Engstrom?
I mean, if you wanted to bring in somebody who's had, you know, a really good impact on a young quarterback, you know, Mike McDaniel's the guy who's, you can say whatever you want, he and Tua, you know, put up some really spectacular numbers when they were healthy and everything was going the right way.
Yeah, but Tanner Engstrom and Aaron Glenn, that would have to be from up top. That'd be a tough one. That was his buddy brought over here. Well, I mean, if the offense sucks, it sucks, right? What are you going to do? I was just taking a look at FanDuel Sportsbook and the odds to make the playoffs. And still, let's see.
Let's
one,
get a futures
two, three,
bet here.
What?
Let's get a futures bet in.
Okay. So one, two, three, four, fifth from the bottom still are the New York Giants at plus 1,600.
I'm not betting on them.
Well, why not? Ah. I mean, that's a big number. We're here. We want them to do well. You're rooting for it. We're watching the games anyway. So you still, I mean, it's still a risk you're not willing to take, what happened with Washington last night?
No. I mean, that's a fumble at the end of the game. They're still going to be a decent team.
But here's the thing. If they beat the Broncos, that number's going to go way up from plus 1,600.
If.
Now's the time.
If they beat the Broncos.
I know. Well, that's what we can't look into the future. The whole thing of the gambling is about.
All right. Let's take a look at, trying to think, what do they got the Rams at? Nah, the Rams are going to make the playoffs.
They got the Rams at minus 260, which is stupid.
That was stupid. All right, what do they got the Bears at?
The Chicago Bears are plus 235. See, that's something I cannot do.
I know that because you're a Viking fan.
I can't do that. If you would like to do that, you could do that on your own.
I like that. I kind of like that.
Okay.
Let's see. What do they have the Ravens at?
The Ravens at plus 110. They still have the Ravens at plus
110. Well, I mean, last week prior to their game against the Rams,
yeah,
the Ravens were still the odds-on favorite to win the AFC North.
Well, that's changed, hasn't it?
I would think so.
Well, now
I
that mean, the I don't Steelers know. Won another game and the Ravens lost another game?
Exactly. I don't even know why that was the way it was last week. But because they obviously were not favored to beat the Rams. The Rams are favored.
Yes. So plus 110, though, still with the Ravens at 1-5 to make the playoffs. It's just something you wouldn't do.
All right. So here, what about the Cowboys?
Cowboys are plus 390.
Their defense is terrible. It's just like the Buffalo Bill defense.
Yeah.
They're completely falling apart. Now, they lost Matt Milano again.
I feel like that guy is like the new Sean Lee.
He's always hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always feels like he's hurt. Yeah.
I don't know. The Giants plus 1,600. I don't mind it. I don't mind it because we're into it as it is.
Right.
You know, I don't have to put a whole bunch of money on it to make some money. And now's the time to do it.
It's like buying a lottery ticket.
Now's the time to do it.
Do it.
Maybe I will. I mean, I still have till Sunday to think about it.
All right.
If I do it right now, you just don't know. You know, then an injury pops up or something.
Even practice. If they win on Sunday, they're still going to be plus, you know.
Oh, what? Significant money, but but you won't get plus 1,600 again.
No, it'd drop a little bit.
More than a little bit, I think.
How do you think maybe?
They end up to 3-4 and they go on the road and beat the Broncos? It'll be more than that. It'll go up to like, I don't know, maybe plus 880, something like that.
Mm.
I think it'll be like cut in half. Let's go to Mark at Port St. Lucie. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Two points. One about Aaron Glenn, and I'm a Giant fan. And the second one I want to talk to you about, don't hang up on me, is quarterback evaluations.
Okay.
Okay? By you, Gio.
Okay.
All right, but number one is Aaron Glenn, forget it. Don't even, we shouldn't even protect him right now. He looks like, Rob Saleh looks like Vince Lombardi compared to this guy. This guy doesn't have a clue. And the poor Jets are going to be just reeling for a year or two under him. That's my first point. Second point is, Gio, you were against Jackson Dart. You said he was a pudgy guy.
Yeah, well, it was
a pudgy clapper.
Pudgy Utah clapper was
what?
The
was pudgy the, Utah clapper.
And pudgy came from Phil Sims, by the way. Yes, Utah didn't like because of Zach Wilson and the clapper from the John Gruden thing. Yes.
I know, and I'm a defender of Daniel Jones, and I've called you before.
Yeah,
about Daniel Jones not being accurate, not being a good quarterback. I love Daniel Jones.
Well, he's doing it right now, man.
But it takes a team. You need a team around you. If Brady was drafted by the Jets.
You know what it also takes? You know what it also takes? It takes ability. And you know what kind of ability that Daniel Jones needed when he was here? He needed availability. He got hurt. How many times did he get hurt when he was the quarterback of the Giants?
That's true.
And as soon as he got hurt, the whole thing went to hell in a handbasket.
You're right. And the other thing is, I think the Vikings blew the Super Bowl by not signing him.
Not signing who? Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones.
Well, they tried to.
They tried to sign him, but he
chose them, Mark.
He chose Indianapolis because things that aren't funny.
Yeah, I know. He chose the Indianapolis Colts because he knew that Anthony Richardson was not going to be much competition.
So they wanted him back as the backup. And he thought that it would be easier for him to go to Indianapolis and win the job over Anthony Richardson as opposed to win the job over J.J. McCarthy. And looks like he could have started in both places, but it would have taken a couple weeks to start in Minnesota as opposed to start right away for the Colts. And it looks like he made the right decision.
Well, the Colts have a good team.
Yeah.
Good, solid defense. Really good offensive line. Quentin Nelson anchoring that offensive line. There's no messing around there. They run the ball effectively with maybe the second best running back in the NFL right now. That would be Jonathan Taylor. Bijan Robinson's number one. Somewhere in there, Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon Barkley, although Saquon's not having the same year that he had last year. And, of course, Jonathan Taylor are in that mix as top-end running backs. And, you know, the fact that Daniel Jones is completing almost 72% of his passes and he's only got three interceptions. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and back to the Jackson Dart before the draft, and no one's happier than me that Jackson Dart is playing good football and exciting this fan base. I had one quarterback evaluator show me notes on him that said pudgy. I had another quarterback evaluator, John Gruden, go, "That's it, man? That's your cadence?" And he went, "That." And then I also saw he went to the same high school as Zach Wilson. So you put me in that situation
again. He's a pudgy! You clapper!
Put me in that situation again, I'm going to make the same opinion. But, you know, you sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. I'm not someone who obviously is a general manager in the league, was right about Zach Wilson, was right about Sam Darnold having a good year with the Vikings, was wrong about this to this point. And I am thrilled. And the reason why I was so pissed off that day is I thought it was another Zach Wilson. I thought we were getting another Zach Wilson. And he is not another Zach Wilson up until this point. Not even close.
Well, he's a little bit older, played in more college football games.
Yeah.
He looks a little bit more seasoned. You know, look at how quickly he's getting the ball out when he's reading the defense and he's getting rid of it. See how quickly it's coming out.
Yeah.
So that, you know, there's less quarterback sacks when the quarterback's doing when the quarterback's supposed to be doing.
Let's go to Justin in Dobbs Ferry. What's going on, Justin?
What's going on, guys? Imagine what Mara would do in his suite when Saquon wins the Super Bowl, and then next year Daniel Jones wins the Super Bowl with the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? John Mara's such a nice guy that he'd probably feel great. He probably felt great for Saquon, but not great that, of course, it was the Eagles. He'd probably feel great for Daniel Jones that he won. It's not like John Mara hasn't experienced unbelievable moments as owner of the Giants, you know?
You know, it would be interesting if you got an AFC championship game either in Indianapolis or Pittsburgh with the Colts playing against the Steelers.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday.
Which could actually happen.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers against Daniel Jones. And then, as Jerry said, and have Sam Darnold waiting for him in the Super Bowl.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local games, NFL games live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Ron in Toms River, New Jersey. What's going on, Ron?
I'm doing well. How are we, Gio? Not Boomer, because Boomer's ruining my freaking commute right now. Giants are on a high right now, and you're not going to take the freaking 2-1 Giants under Jackson Dart? You can't do that right now? You can't ride with us? And you fail to mention Cam Scadab, who's a top 10 running back in the league right now. How do you ignore that? And the best ability or the worst ability that Daniel Jones ever had was invisibility, where he was 1-27 Sunday Night Football in all the major freaking games. Give me a break, Boomer. Ride with us today, baby. Make my commute better. Let's go, baby. Let's go, G-Men. Brick by brick, baby.
Brick by brick. And you see what a quarterback does to a team?
Yeah, so plus it's 1,600. You in on it with me?
No, I'll take the plus 880 if that's what happens if they win on Sunday. Listen.
So you're saying that they're losing this week? You've already got them pegged for a loss.
They went on the road. They had a tough time in New Orleans.
Yeah, they did.
All right, so they won both home games, which is great, and they won a finally won a primetime game, which is even better. This could be a really good test for them, and I think they're getting them at the right time, assuming, you know, think about that flight from London to Denver.
Yeah, I know. This is where dog evaluating the game would be like, Broncos, London, short week flight back to Denver, couple time zones, Giants Thursday night, extra rest should be a factor, you know? Yes. I mean, she's right about it. He would be right about this.
Yes, he would be.
Thursday night, extra rest, go out there. By the way, the Broncos were out in London. So whatever game they played on U.S. soil prior to that game.
Philadelphia, they beat Philadelphia.
They beat Philadelphia. They went straight to London.
Yeah. I mean,
spent a week out there.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, we've been talking about the Giants. Well, obviously the Jets a little bit too, but Giants to start the show. Is it nuts to think that maybe the Giants have closed the gap in the NFC East and that it's not that far-fetched to say that anything's possible the rest of the way this season with the way Jackson Dart has played?
Well, I mean, they just took down the Super Bowl champs, you know, and they put up 5 touchdowns against them, something that Eagles defense hasn't done in a long, long time. So when you have a game like that, it gives you kind of a blueprint to what you possibly can do. They overcame the loss of Malik Nabers last Thursday night, and that was going to be a big question mark whether they could do it. But we saw Jalin Hyatt step up. We saw a number of guys. Wandale had a great game, and the offensive line played very well. And obviously the rookie back looks like a special kid. So and then defense, you know, really came to play. So can they close the gap? They've closed the gap. Now, by how much, it remains to be seen. They're going to have a big test in Denver this weekend. But, you know, the talent level has certainly gotten a lot better at the quarterback, running back, you know, the pass rush, area. I mean, they're a lot better than they have been in the past.
Yeah. You know, Baldy, one of the things they say about young hitters in baseball who get off to a good start, well, he's got to get a book on them. And once they figure him out a little bit, it might be a little tougher. Then the onus is on the young hitter to make the changes, blah, blah, blah. What kind of changes or adjustments do you think the NFL is going to start making at Dart?
Well, it might happen this weekend. Vance Joseph has a lot of, a lot of chess pieces to work with. And so, you know, the one thing that you have to account for is him as a runner, not just design runs, but obviously the loose plays where he can, you know, extend plays. He's been really good at it. You might think that he's running too much. I think he's running too much. But, I mean, I think they'll have some level of spy on him. And maybe cage rush him where they're not really trying to sack him. They're just trying to. Now, this is a, you know, defense that is, it's shark infested waters against this front right now. And, they did it a year ago. They're doing it now. And so I don't think they're going to cage rush him. But I think they're cognizant of him being able to take off and run and, you know, extend drives because of that ability.
You think Denver's got the best defense in the NFL?
Well, I don't know statistically. I got all the stats here this week. Right now, they're number 2 in points given up. But when you can sack the quarterback the way they are at the rate that they are right now, I mean, obviously the Jets are the Jets. But, I mean, they did it the week before against Philadelphia. So, and they did it last year. And they have all the guys back from a year ago. And they've added some pieces. So when it starts with pass rush, and then if you have the ability to cover like they do, they're pretty special with all the different things that they can do.
But is their offense good enough to be one of the best teams in the NFL? Now, the Jets' defense played better. Jermaine Johnson was back. That matters. How about the Denver's offense against the Giants' defense?
That's the best I've seen the Jets' defense play in a long time.
Yep.
But, and Jermaine does make a difference. You know, Jarvis Brownlee made a difference getting those guys on the field. But they have been good as an offense. Actually, Bo Nix takes care of the football. He's a guy that you have to count for as a runner. He's an excellent runner. And Cortland Sutton's a guy that, you know, had a big day against the Eagles the week before. And so they've got a lot of young players, Marvin Mims and Troy Franklin, all these guys, they use them all. They were minus a couple pieces on the offensive line. It looked like it affected them a little bit last week. But typically, J.K. Dobbins has had a great season so far. And last week, he got shut down for the first time all year. But, you know, Sean Payton's calling plays. That playbook is as big as any playbook in the NFL.
There's a lot I want to get to with the Jets, but before we do, continue on the Giants here. We're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. What do you think the Giants need to do, Baldy, to get to that next level? Okay, we could understand the gap has been closed. What's going to prevent them, or what will help them get to that next level sooner than later?
Well, I mean, we saw a one-night performance, you know, and then we saw a performance against the Chargers, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I guess. You know, just the consistency of it, you know. I mean, not turning the ball over, taking the ball away. I mean, you go to New Orleans and you let, you know, you give it up three times, you're not going to win that game. And so turnovers always affect these games. And then just the consistency where you can drive the field and you can finish in the paint, you know, with touchdowns. I mean, that's what's going to put them on a, you know, a more competitive field week in, week out. Because I believe that if you give this defense the lead like they had against the Chargers, like they got against the Eagles, and you start turning some of those guys loose, the way Brian Burns is playing, he's playing as well as anybody. Maybe Nick Benito on the other side is playing better, but you know, nobody's really playing better than Burnsy. And if you get that defense lead, I think they have enough pieces where they can either knock you out or take the ball away, or you know, maintain that lead and finish the game.
Hey, Baldy, real quick on the Giants' offensive line, whether it's statistically or circumstantially, what does Andrew Thomas, you know, his return and him playing at a good level, what does that do for the rest of the guys up front?
Well, the first thing is you haven't mentioned his name in 2 weeks. You know, that says like he's not committing penalties and he's shutting down, you know, the backside right now. In the run game, he's been excellent. I mean, he's just a model of consistency, honestly. And that's what you want from your left tackle. You never want to hear their name even mentioned. And, you know, when he's out there, it doesn't get mentioned. And he makes everybody around him better. He makes the tight ends better blockers. He makes John Runyon better. He makes everybody around him better. And that's kind of the mark of a franchise left tackle.
How much, Baldy, was the Jets' futility on offense a credit to what Denver does on defense?
It's a great part of it. But, you know, you want to play as a group. They played horrible as a group. But then individually, every single guy got exposed. You know, Fasano got exposed. Simpson had his worst game. Tippmann was terrible. I mean, they all got exposed by guys that are good. One-on-one. Zach Allen led the league in quarterback hits last year. Like, you know, not many guys can block that guy one-on-one, but they've got five guys up there, you know, whether, and then, you know, their takeoffs, if you just go deep into next level stats, the takeoff of Cooper on the right and Benito on the left is the fastest in the NFL. Wow. And so if you're laid off the ball like they were a couple of times, the quarterback's not going to have any chance at all. Now, I'm not absolving the quarterback because he was terrible too, but that was, you know, to see that many offensive linemen on the ground was a bad day for them. But it is a testament to, you know, what Denver's that front is and who they are.
All right, so when you slap on the film, like I could sit here and, as I did yesterday, say Justin Fields taking all day to throw the ball. We all know that. But who's open? You know, just what do you see conceptually and just athletically from this Jets offense?
Well, I mean, look, the biggest play they had all day was a bad snap recovered by Breece Hall and went 12 yards up the middle. It's the biggest play they had, 12 yards off a broken and a bad snap. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, get overly cynical here, but that's where they were. But, you know, at the end of the game, you know, they need a field goal to win the game, right? And they throw that out route to Garrett Wilson. It's a perfect stack route combination against man coverage. Fofanga blows the coverage. He's wide open. But, you know, right now Justin is hesitant. If you're hesitant at that position, you might as well be lost. And so he's hesitant, and then he's not accurate with the ball. So that's two misgivings on that one play, that if you throw that ball to Garrett on time and accurately, it's a first down, and you got a new set of downs you're driving. That's just one play.
He has been inaccurate and late. Real quick, what's worse or what's more fixable? Hesitancy throwing the ball or lack of accuracy?
And lack of accuracy, because I don't know how much accuracy can be improved. We saw Josh Allen improve a great deal. Takes a great deal of work to become more accurate.
Yep.
But accuracy is an issue right now, and it has been an issue. And so I've seen Justin Fields in Chicago with a case of the yips where he just wouldn't pull the trigger to an open receiver. And you don't know why, but he's overcome that. I've seen him overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can overcome that, but throwing the ball through the tire in the backyard is something I think you either have or you don't have.
Do you think that Aaron Glenn should have made a quarterback switch and gone to Tyrod Taylor and maybe get a different result in that game?
Yeah, I do. You know why? You can always put Justin Fields back in as a starter, but they needed a field goal to win that. The defense couldn't play a whole lot better in special teams. They couldn't play a whole lot better than they did. They got the one takeaway, gave them a field goal all year. I just felt like they just needed somebody that could make a play. And I would have made a switch by sometime in the fourth quarter. I know the line didn't help anybody, but Tyrod's played behind bad offense lines. He's got a lot of experience. I think he would have pulled the trigger earlier and quicker and more accurate in key spots when all they needed was a field goal to win.
Yep. And Boldy, last thing for me, can you speak to the responsibility? Of course, the objective is to win games, but when you let a quarterback stay out there who's so bad as he was, you might lose the locker room a little bit. Like, you at least have to galvanize the rest of the guys and say, hey, I'm giving you a chance to win. Like, that's got to play into it a little bit, no?
No, I agree. Like, you got to find a hot hand. You got to get a hot hand. You got to find somebody that can make a play. They needed one play to win that game. That was winnable the entire fourth quarter. That was a winnable game. And, yeah, I mean, you can lose it. But, you know, Garrett had things to say to the coach going into halftime. It made no sense what they did in the final 37 seconds on fourth and one right there to let the clock run out, especially if you've got a field goal kicker that's 5 for 5 from beyond 50 yards.
Yeah.
Like, if you can just figure out a way to, you know, get the first down, clock it, get a first down, like, you go into halftime, you know, with some points. So I thought there was some real mistakes being made.
So what is going on there? Is that all on Aaron Glenn? Is that his staff not being in his ear? How the hell do you bungle a halftime, going into halftime like that, not to mention the decision at the end of the game, somehow thinking that you would convert a 4th and 8 when you needed a field? I don't care if the field goal was 70 yards, kick the field goal, but is that all on Aaron Glenn? Is that his staff? How the hell does that happen?
Well, it's got to be on Aaron. I mean, you can have the staff, like, in his ear, but he's got to make the decision. Like we're going for, like, I'm saying to myself in my hotel room getting ready for my game, Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner are saying it. Every Jet fan is saying it. Like, what are we doing here? Hmm. You know, like, you're just going to let it run out. You need points. The defense is playing great. Anything. You know, I mean, even if you just go up there on 4th and 1 and just threw a Hail Mary to Garrett and you got a defensive pass interference, like, anything's better than let it run out.
Do you have an issue with Garrett?
There's always time.
Yep.
I just thought that was a missed opportunity. Who knows if it's an opportunity or not?
Yeah.
But that's on the head coach. I mean, that's why he's not calling, you know, plays. That's why he's supposed to be governing the game right there.
That's a good point. You got to at least try. You have an issue with Garrett chirping there? I didn't. How about you?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, you don't say it's just the emotional of the game. He's trying to win.
Yep.
He's trying to win this game. He's like, what are we doing, coach? Like, I don't know what he was being said, but if I wasn't saying it because I was just a grunt offense lineman, you want your stars to, like, challenge the coach in that spot. Like, come on. Garrett's out there going, I can beat, you know, Patrick Surtain. These guys aren't unbeatable. Like, give us a chance here.
You think, Boldy, last one real quick, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, we were talking about how they seem to be, you know, skinny, very skinny to say the least. You think either of them could benefit from putting on a little more muscle?
Garrett is, you know, he's an acrobat. I don't know if he gains 10 pounds, if he's going to be any different. I mean, DeSean Jackson never gained a pound. He played 15 years. It was a game changer. I don't think it's going to affect him. Can Sauce gain some weight, be a little more physical with, you know, some of these guys in the league? Probably, but he's been in the league for 5 years. I don't know that it's going to make any difference.
Thank you, Baldy. We appreciate the time as always. All right, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Week 7 in the NFL BT, and we've actually got a spicy, juicy, big matchup on the board with one of the New York football teams. The Giants and the Broncos go at it 4:00 tomorrow, and I can't wait. You saw some trash talk on social media. We could get into that last night, but really, to me, this is a big stage now for Jackson Dart, as the Giants maybe snuck up on the Eagles a week ago, and maybe people overlooking them even after the first win against the Chargers and then losing to the Saints. Now, and it's not just here in New York, I do think you're starting to get the sense sense that Giants fans feeling themselves, the Giants becoming a little bit more of a national story with the emergence of Dart and Scataboo and all that he brings. And now there is a new expectation. One of that certainly from the fans and the Giant players themselves that they expect to compete in what will, I believe, be the toughest matchup they will face all year long in Denver against that defense. But either way, we have a huge game, Week 7, Giants in Denver.
I can't believe I'm saying I can't wait to sit down and watch the Giants play football. I cannot wait. I wish it had more of a maybe a national imprint. I remember asking you the other day, like, who's on the game? And I think you said Myers and somebody else, so you kind of get the D team, I think.
No, that was with the Jets. Harlan and Trent Green.
Oh, there you go. Harlan's good. All right, so we'll get some good calls from Harlan. Okay, so I still wish it was like 425. And either way, this is what you crave. This is what you want. This is what you... All the years complaining, and by the way, those complaints were fully justified, calling us up, calling the fan up, tweeting away, hitting send with extra aggression because you're pissed off after another Giants loss. It doesn't guarantee a win this weekend, that's for sure, but it's a different set of emotions, like the season's on, and there's real possibilities, and there's a return to relevance. And I see, I was thinking about this on the way in, and I'm going to say it, even though I hesitate to say it. It's kind of a win-win. Like, even if unless the Giants got dismantled and smoked and obliterated, and God forbid somebody got hurt, and it was just really non-competitive, which I don't think it will be, by the way. And I'm talking like 35-10, 40-13. That's not going to happen. But if it did, that would be different. Even if the Giants lose, like, there's still things that they could take away. They're big dogs here for a reason, guys. Everybody has to realize that. But
yeah, but I don't think fans do.
Huh, interesting.
Well, they were big dogs against the Eagles.
Yeah, but it's different at home. Yeah, maybe it's not.
The energy,
you think Giant fans really, I know they're excited. Do you think Giant fans think that they're going to win the game?
I do. I think Giant
fans. I'm not feeling that.
I think Giant fans see what Denver did against the Jets last week and think, Denver, this team, come on, they're overrated. Who they beaten, defense is over. Yeah, I really believe that that's the case. And I believe they're in for a rude awakening. However, we're going to find out. We'll find out right now what young Jackson Dart is capable of. Now, I believe he's a good quarterback. I think he's dangerous as any young quarterback. But going up against that head coach in that building against that team, which I've been saying for weeks is the best team, best defense certainly in the NFL. And I thought 2 weeks ago they were the best team in the AFC. So I've been a believer in Denver. This has nothing to do with just this matchup this week. It has nothing to do with how they looked against the Jets. I believe Denver is a legitimate team and going to be a very difficult matchup. I don't think Giant fans see that the same way. Also, I don't think they care who they're playing because they just dismantled the Eagles, the Super Bowl champion. They're feeling themselves with Jackson Dart and Scataboo and the defense with Burns and Spider-Man, Kayvon Thibodeau, whatever, sexy deck. So I think the Giant fans are going into this BT, not looking at the point spread, saying, hey, we've got a chance to beat another good football team and really get our season back on.
Well, I hope so. I don't feel it as much as you do in terms of what the fans are thinking, but ultimately it doesn't really matter. The game's going to happen no matter what. And of course, Giant fans are excited. I'm just talking about that degree of conviction that they can win. Either way, here's the thing though, like the return to relevance, That always sparks something that we all, it's almost like a drug. It's the sporting drug. It just starts to pulsate through your body, and Giant fans are certainly feeling that. But the difference with this is, you know, with Dart, he's got to be, that you, like the defense, I remember saying this a couple days ago, the defense is not young. Like, even though they're not old, but it's not like five rookies like Dart and Scataboo. They've got a lot of guys who are getting paid a lot of money, who have some years in the NFL, who've done some good things. So to me, if the Giants are going to win, and maybe even deeper than that, just even if it's going to be a competitive four-quarter, one-score game, defense has to lead the way.
Agree with that 100%. I don't see a way that the offense carries them here, but we'll find out. It's going to be a fun game. And either way, I said before, you know, there's some spiciness to it. Last night, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, some of the stuff that was going on social media as it pertains to this game. Let's start with a clip here from Broncos linebacker Jonathan Cooper, who was talking about Jackson Dart, and Giant fans and Giant players took offense to this. Let's listen to Jonathan Cooper talking about the young Jackson Dart.
He's a young guy. He's, you know, feeling himself a little bit. He's out there running around. He's got the chain on. He's dancing. You know, I feel like everybody needs something. So, you know. But we've went against QBs who have ran around in the pocket and have, you know, tried to do stuff with their legs. So ain't nothing we haven't seen.
All right, so nothing crazy there, but still, you could see how maybe that would rub some people with the Giants and Giant fans the wrong way.
Yeah, and I can see why Bronco or some Bronco players are, and I appreciate them being, even though, again, that wasn't a hit piece there, I appreciate Bronco players putting their name on this, and some other people jumped in, Kayvon Abdul, we'll get to that in a minute, but to me, if I'm a Broncos player, I'm looking at this rookie, the hair flowing out, the eye black on one eye, I don't know if it's platinum, whatever that chain is, it's sweet, it's probably about a $100,000 piece of jewelry. What other NFL quarterback is wearing something like that, let alone a rookie? So, you know, the Giants now, there's no side doors. There's no, well, let me sneak up on you. Well, that's a cute little story. That's why we use the word relevance. There's now an awakening. There's an awakening around the NFL. Certainly the Giant fan base is wide awake, but now the rest of the league is starting to say, okay, you think you're feeling it? Come to our house. We'll bring you something. And think about if he said that, which wasn't bad, but if he said what he said there on the record, imagine what they're saying amongst themselves watching film.
Well,
they're looking at a destroyed dart.
It does get better. Nick Bonitto, the best defensive player in the league-leading sack leader, he tweeted, I've never seen such a delusional fan base, and then deleted it.
Yeah, like a punk move.
Well, I mean,
that's weak. Just keep it up there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he just said, who knows? Maybe somebody told him. Maybe he didn't want to deal with the nonsense or whatever. You know what? I'll let my play go out there and you know, speak for itself. And then you had the Giants chiming in, whether it's Kayvon Thibodeau tweeting some gifs in response, Abdul Carter as well taking issue with it, saying, talking about like put your 3D glasses on in response to Jonathan Cooper. So there is some spiciness here. And I don't know, and I think we're all going to learn, if the Giants are ready for this stage. That's my main point to all of this. The Broncos were a playoff team a year ago. Bo Nix was a rookie last year, and they had success. The Broncos have built off of that. Sean Payton's now in, what, year three, building that program up to be a legitimate contender in the AFC. The league's best defense, legitimate players everywhere you look on that field. Even the offense is good. I know it didn't look good against the Jets. Still, they have a good offensive football team and a great defensive football team. They're on another level. The Giants are just entering the chat here with a couple of weeks of success with the three starts of Jackson Dart. But they're talking a big game, and now we're going to get to see it go head-to-head. Can they compete with one of the NFL's best on the road? Certainly the NFL's best defense with a rookie quarterback with all this trash talk and little spice there.
I wish this game was at home.
Yeah.
It would sound different, but like I tell you, you mentioned the Kayvon GIF, but you didn't say what it was. It's, and listen, I know Abdul Carter hopped in. That's fine. Get your glasses, 3D, whatever. Mm-hmm. Kayvon's GIF, it's a masterpiece. It is De Niro in Goodfellas just banging back a heater. And, like, I don't know who, he's at the bar and he's looking at somebody. He takes a little drag of the heater. It's like, it's basically like, all right, we've got to go put somebody in the trunk. It's time to deliver the hit. So, Kayvon, creative, and he's got his guys back. And see, and this is what a young quarterback does. And no disrespect to Daniel Jones, but obviously, and he's doing well this year, but vanilla, bland. I'm not saying the guys wouldn't have his back, but when you have the energy like Jackson Dart has, now the rest of the locker room is like, okay, now we got a dog coming out of the tunnel. We got his back. We know he's young, but it's just there's a different level of alertness and engagement, which is phenomenal for the future.
Do you think the Broncos think that the Giants are on their level?
No.
Do you think that they take them seriously? Outside of just taking each game seriously, you think they look at them the same way they would an upper echelon team, the Chiefs, whoever it may be?
I don't, but I'll tell you this. Because I know they're a buttoned-up, well-coached, good franchise. Yeah. I could promise you when they're in the film room, whether it's the coordinators or even a Peyton rolls in, and certainly their star players, Bonitto, et cetera, they're saying, guys, listen, if we're not ready, these guys could do some, like, they're looking at Scadaboo saying, all right, we got to tighten the pads. Well, you know, Dart, he can run for 75 yards on us. So there's an awareness, but no, they don't look at them like Kansas City.
Right. Of course not. Do you think the league does in general look at the Giants as one of those?
No.
Me neither. Okay. Right. Like we understand. I don't think that they do either. And we here in New York have seen it. I'm not sure I would put them on that level yet, but I think this is going to be the test. If the Giants, and whether it's Abdul Carter or Thibodeau going out there and tweeting some stuff, whether it's them taking issue with anything the Broncos have had to say, now that shouldn't need to be the motivation, but maybe it's going to be. This is a chance for the Giants to show that they are for real and they have arrived. Not just building to get there where next year is going to be the real year, and we talked about that earlier in the week. Now can be the time. If you go show the Broncos, who aren't really taking you that seriously, it's not a knock on Denver. Like, just that, we think the Giants are dangerous and we think they're good, but come on. Like, we play the Chiefs twice a year. We're in the AFC. We're a playoff team last year. The Giants are 2-4. They haven't seen the playoffs, you know, how many years, 3 years, whatever it's been. So I don't think the Broncos look at the Giants as a big-time threat. I don't think the league still looks at the Giants as a legitimate threat. And I do think that the Giant fans are starting to feel themselves with this team a little bit, and we're going to see which one when the rubber meets the road here come Sunday.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I do think that these tweets now, even if Denver, and they don't look at them like the Chiefs, and they shouldn't.
Correct.
Obviously. But now there's a different level, and I'm going to use the word alertness again. If Denver was maybe a little vulnerable to kind of sleepwalking into this game because they don't view them like the Chargers or the Chiefs or an upper echelon team. These tweets kind of change
it woke
that.
Them up. This is it.
And I could promise you, forget about the tweets, which are inane and meaningless at the end of the day, but during warm-ups right around an hour before the game, I could promise you there's going to be some woofing.
Right.
A couple of Giants going to walk over. A couple of the Broncos going to walk over. Might even be a little scuffle here.
We'll see what they're made of, the Giants.
I love it. It shows some togetherness. It shows some heart. I know the Giants are going to play hard. I hope that they play well. But at the end of the day, what's happening now is the Giants are forging an identity, and it's about time.
BT and Sal on the fan.
There's an NFL giant legend and a host of post and pre who can help me dissect this. And the guy who hosts not one, not two, but yeah, two, Giants podcasts in Sean Morash who can help us dissect this. So here's the piece of news, and then explain it to me and everyone in the audience like we're five. Are you ready? The Giants have restructured the contracts of Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland, creating just over $4 million in cap space for 2025. That is, of course, according to Field Yates, who does a great job covering the NFL for ESPN. What does this mean? What does it mean?
That means that they are clearing cap space. Salary cap, which is always fungible, as we all know.
Yes.
Cap space to acquire somebody else's contract.
Oh.
Now, they also filled their last two practice squad spots. Who was the one linebacker? I'm forgetting.
Jonas Griffith.
Jonas Griffith, who was formerly of the Denver Broncos. He was hurt multiple times. Same ACL. He did multiple ACL 23 injuries.
23 and 24, he tore ACLs.
Right, but he's of the Denver Broncos.
Ah.
So he's maybe familiar with what Vance Joseph likes to do.
Collect some info.
If you watch Vance Joseph defenses, there's a lot of messing around. We're going to double mug. We're going to drop those guys out. We're going to bring them sometimes. We're going to play cover zero. We're going to play one. We're going to play zone, all that stuff. And so maybe you get some intel. They also signed Juice Wells, who is a wide receiver, who is a rookie. Played with Jackson Dart for their practice squad. So, but the main issue, restructuring the contract of those two free agents that they just brought in, is just to clear cap space because they're obviously signing somebody
else. So this is like when the Nets traded Alan Crabb and it created cap space to sign Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Is that the same
something
thing,
similar,
Sean?
Yeah. But probably not as high end as that.
Very similar. They're not getting KD. And make no mistake, the Giants still needed some cap space to regularly play the game the rest of the year with the back and forth. They didn't need nearly $5 million in cap space.
So a trade is coming, is what you guys are reporting.
Look, when there's enough smoke, there's fire. The Giants are seemingly going to trade for a wide receiver, and it feels like a good year to trade for a wide receiver because of all the positions in the NFL ahead of this trade deadline in a couple weeks. Boy, does it feel like the wide receiver market, above anything else, has boomed. So,
yeah, well, I think that is, Sean? There are so many that come into the league every single year that are just going to be good. Every year, you're going to get three or four, maybe six good wide receivers that are going to be stars on whatever team they're on. And so it's, I don't want to say it's the easiest position to just acclimate into an NFL team. It's probably running back because it's just, if you're good, you're good. You know what I mean?
Right. You can pass protect. You
Right. But the receivers feel like every year there's five or six of them that are coming in and they get it right away. So if you have a guy who you're not really sure of that you drafted second, third, fourth round, whatever, or you got in free agency and your team's not doing well, okay, see ya. We'll get another one next year.
Right.
So it's just the most, I don't know, plentiful of positions where you can find stars.
So the New York Giants are trading for a wide receiver?
That's what it feels like.
We're not sure whom. We did a list yesterday talking about it. We're not sure when. Obviously, it'll happen before the trade deadline, which is on November 4th. But the New York Giants and Joe Shane are priming themselves to trade for a wide receiver.
That's what it feels like.
And you want to know why they're going to trade for a wide receiver? It's twofold. I said yesterday I would do it, not just for this year, but for this year and next year. But I'm Evan. I'm a guy sitting on sports talk radio. Joe Shane is doing it because he knows what I know, what you know, what Mr. Marin knows, what Sean knows, and what Dabo knows. They got to win games.
Yes.
And so I know that there are some Giant fans who say, forget this year. That's fool's gold. It's all about next year. To get to next year, this GM and head coach need a certain amount of wins.
True.
So there is an urgency in that front office.
I think who they go get is going to be is going to determine my reaction to it.
Oh, yes. As any trade should.
Mm-hmm.
As any trade should. Whenever we talk about trades, we're going to do it a lot during the baseball offseason. It's always about the whom and the what.
Right.
You know, Tommy will famously tell you with the James Harden trade, who's in the deal? Like, that stuff matters. So it's the same thing. Who is the wide receiver you're getting? What are you giving up? What's the contract situation?
Right.
All of that will help dictate how we feel about it.
Speculation on that, Sean?
I mean, there's a lot of speculation. Jacoby Myers, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of still buzz building around Olave and Waddle. And, you know, Waddle, I can't remember. Somebody mentioned it first.
Well, they
I
feel like they're just going nowhere, Miami. Yeah.
So, who mentioned Jalen Waddle first, Tiki? Well,
that was you. That was you, Evan. As an IFO.
Let me just say this to all the Giant beat reporters, and I hope they know this. When Jalen Waddle gets traded to the Giants, all I want to see on your tweet is, as first reported by, no, as first suggested by Evan Rock.
As first speculated by.
Yes.
Can I put everybody back in a transporter for a second?
Yeah.
Can I take you back to 1 week ago, the Evan and Tiki show at Yankee Stadium? Are the Yankees going to force a game five? Aaron Judge hit the home run. Oh, we're going to be an American dream tomorrow. Giants-Eagles are going to get smoked by the Eagles. Whatever, we'll do a lot of baseball that day.
Told you they would win.
It is a full week later. The Giants have beat the Eagles, and they're clearing cap space to be buyers at the deadline for a wide receiver.
what the hell is going on?
What the hell happened?
Lock and change in a couple of days, bro.
What happened?
Lock and change.
But you know what? That's the NFL.
Yeah.
It's why it's the most popular sport, because anything can happen. You have no idea.
Which is why this is a challenging discussion when we talk about our views on the Giants and if they've changed mm-hmm. or not. I try to stay grounded, but it's only 17 games, so it's
right.
tough to stay grounded when a game or two is basically the equivalent of 20 games in a baseball season. So I understand why one win would cause the Giant fan to say, I feel completely different about this team.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel the same.
It's also about who they beat and how they beat them.
Absolutely. I feel the same. Sunday would change everything.
Mm.
Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. The number, Chris in Tinton Falls. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, man, what's cooking? Hey, Tiki, I have one guy that I would add to that group that you had earlier that I feel really confident in.
Go ahead.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Thibodeau, man, is playing
100%.
The best ball of his career, and Burns is as well, and I've got another point, but I think the one difference there, Abdul Carter, man.
Yeah.
He is making, even though he's not showing up in the stats, he's making everybody better.
Yeah.
No doubt.
No,
and Thibodeau
we saw that last week.
Stronger.
Yeah, he definitely, I mean, what did he do this all? I'm forgetting now. Boxing? No, not boxing. Wrestling. Didn't he wrestle? I think he wrestled this offseason. Now, I don't know how many of you guys wrestled. Not anybody in this room other than me.
No.
But I'm just talking about
We used
listeners.
To script it in the backyard.
I'm talking about real wrestling.
Oh, no.
Where you learn about leverage, but you also build this stupid strength when you wrestle. Like, you train to be a wrestler. And so it's helping him, obviously. But you mentioned Abdul Carter. He's still a rookie, so I'm not putting him in that category yet, but he shows up on the non-stat sheet in so many ways for this team. So I think Kayvon is on that list too.
I love when a caller can connect with another caller. Their opinion can be furthered with another opinion,
mm-hmm.
and you're about to witness this because our last caller talked about how good Kayvon has been. Let's hear from Anthony in Toms River, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Abe. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Evan Tiki. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
Yeah, so it makes a lot of sense to try and trade for a wide receiver for the development of Jackson Dart, especially with Neighbors out. But Kayvon Thibodeau, you know, as much as I like the player, he's due for a max contract, and I kind of think it makes sense to trade him because you have so many pass rushers and young players on defense already, like Burns, and Dexter Lawrence has a big contract.
It's a very interesting point. Just so we know, before you answer this, Kayvon Thibodeau has his fifth-year option, which has already been picked up for next year,
right.
in which he's due to make about $14 million. But then he is a free agent.
Right.
So even though they have him under control next year, they still have to pay him. And considering some of the other pieces they have, it's a fair question.
Well,
does that make sense, Deke?
Not really.
What?
Because it's not a fair question. One,
Anthony did not ask a fair question?
No, it is, but it isn't.
Okay.
Because when you talk about the fifth-year option, Kayvon Thibodeau has not made Pro Bowls.
Right.
And if you don't make it two or three Pro Bowls, I forget what it is. I think it's two. Multiple Pro Bowls in your first 4 years, your fifth-year option is not exorbitant. It's not, you know, near the franchise tag. And so $14 million for Kayvon Thibodeau, the way that he's playing,
right,
is a steal.
But wouldn't that make it such a great value that you could use it in a trade discussion?
Yes.
Especially if your intention is not to lock him up long term.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But my part two of this is why you can't trade him. What they are doing, how Shane Bowen is utilizing those three guys in particular, and Dex as well, but Dex is always at a three technique or nose or whatever. But those pass rushers are so versatile in what they do, it's allowing every one of those guys to eat, right? Every one of those guys gets a one-on-one opportunity, and it's only because you have three good rushers. And sometimes you see Brian Burns standing up over the center. Sometimes you see Kayvon Thibodeau standing up over the center. Sometimes you see Abdul Carter standing up over the center. And you don't know what's happening. Are they dropping out or are they rushing so that you're forcing all five of the offensive linemen to block man-to-man? And if you do that, one of those guys is winning. And especially if you start throwing in the twist in the games that they run. So I think if you lose Kayvon Thibodeau, who's taking his spot? Like, what other of your defensive edges is that good that he's going to allow your defense to be as dominant as it's been the last couple of games? The answer is nobody. I'm just telling you, because you look at there's nobody else that's going to do that. So I get why people are saying, get the value. I'm a baseball mind. Trade Kayvon Thibodeau.
It is very baseball-like.
It's so stupid to me, but because it doesn't work in football, because you're cutting your nose off.
Well, they've played six. So what's the 17 minus
11? The remaining 11 games. I was like, that doesn't sound right. The remaining 11 games, any of those 11, the Giants can win.
And they could also lose any game.
And well, yes.
But, which they proved 2 weeks
but
ago.
But at the beginning of the season, you were probably saying the Giants can win maybe two or three.
Okay, so I understand and respect and appreciate Sonny's passion. That's a passionate Giant fan who's like basically wanted to tell us.
They still have to do it.
They do have to do it.
That's my point.
He wanted to tell us, maybe more so me than you, because he respects you a lot more as a Giant legend, that I should go F myself. Like, basically, you know, your expectations are the same?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't remember what I said at the beginning of the season. What did I say, seven?
I think you said seven.
Because I think I had the Jets at five.
I'm pretty sure you said seven.
You want me to go to the archives?
Yeah, we have to.
Am I the only archivist around here?
Yes.
I know I said 10 because I felt peer pressured, but I really meant 6.
Yeah, your 10 was a very fugazi one because you were peer pressured.
It was an inflated 10.
My point is, I looked at this team at the beginning of the year, and I remember saying this a few times. You are better than what you were in the previous year talent-wise, which you are. And I stand by that. That hasn't changed. But I thought that you're facing so many teams that are clearly better than you that you'll steal 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
Now, you've gotten 2 of them with 11 to go. I still look at the final 11 games in which you will be underdogs in every game and say, yeah, you'll win 3 or 4 games. Well, do the math. That's 5 or 6 wins. And here's the beautiful part for Sonny and even for you who's getting offended. That's my freaking opinion on how I feel about the Giants. Can that change if they beat the Broncos? I admit it will. I admit, I'll come in here hat in hand on Monday and say, boy, I think I got it wrong about this team. Dare I say they'll be in a playoff race? But as we sit here today, that's just how I view them. A more talented team than last year, but still a team that's going to have to punch up in just about every game they play. What is so offensive about that?
It's not offensive. It's not offensive.
Thank you.
Evan, anybody who thought they were going to win 5 or 6 games also thought, hey, they got to split one of those first two with Dallas and Washington. Hey, they got to beat the New Orleans Saints. So
good point. You're right.
I'm riding sky high on beating the Eagles and the Chargers, but the Giants, we can't get back the games we already played. They've already lost games we expect them to win. So all that the two wins have done, not to do with the energy and everything, is make up for games we thought they were going to win that they didn't.
I'll borrow a phrase that you had. When they announced they were starting Jackson Dart, you basically said, it's reopening week.
Exactly.
It's all anew. So if we play that game right now, okay, they're 2-4. They just beat the Eagles. Dart's the starting quarterback. We also know Malik Nabers is out, right? We also have that piece of information. There are 11 games on this schedule. It's a new opening day. New prediction game. How many of those 11 games are they going to win? And I still look at those 11 games in which, again, they are going to be underdogs in all of them and say, maybe 3 or 4. And that's how you get to 5 or 6. Now, I'll ask you, Tiki, there's 11 games left.
Yeah.
We now have new information. No Malik Nabers. Jackson Dart is starting.
even new information about this defense and how you feel about it.
Yeah.
All right? We'll do it right now. October 15th. There's 11 games left to go in the season.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do in their final 11 games? Give me a number.
Half.
There's 11. It's an uneven number.
Round up.
5.5.
5-5-1?
No. 5.5.
But
Loogie's right. Round up.
So 6-5.
Yes.
Make it enough, as they say on Friday.
Yep.
And I'm writing this down. This is long-term predictions, final 11 games here on 10-15-25. Okay. 6-5 for Tiki. I'll make mine official. I think they're going 3-8 in their final 11 games.
Hater.
You know, you guys are too much.
I'm just joking. Keep going.
Tommy Lugauer in the final 11 games. What are the Giants going
to do? Okay, so I predicted them to win 6 games this year. I still think they win 6 games, so help me out with the math. They go 4-7.
7?
4-7. So 4-7 in the last 11.
I respect your consistency. You're like me. You're like, I'm going to get to the same number. I just have to do the math.
Correct.
Sean Morash, the man who cried, and I thought it was legitimate cries, after the Giants beat the Philadelphia Eagles. How many wins will they get in their final 11 games?
Tiki's inspired me. F it. 5-5-1.
Who is the tie?
Raiders?
Oh, yeah.
No. Vikings.
The Dallas Cowboys in the final week of the year, because we should have tied them already.
Oh, at home.
That would be so weird. A week 18 tie?
That would be brutal.
And Dallas, you know why? Dallas gets their second tie of the year.
And it would be brutal because they'd have a better record than us.
Yeah.
If say it comes down to that. They'd have a better record than us.
Yeah. I respect you predicting the tie. That's good. All right.
I really wanted to say 4-7 he did, but you know what? Let's have some fun.
And by the way, just so we can all do the math together, based on what's already happened in the first 6 games and then the predictions of the final 11, Tiki Barber is officially predicting the New York Giants to finish 8-9.
Yeah, which is not far from what I said at the beginning of the season.
Fair enough. I'm officially predicting them to finish 5-12. Tommy,
which is more than you said at the beginning of the season.
I think I said 4-5. It was in that range. I forget what I settled on, but it was 4-5. It was basically there. Tommy has them finishing 6-11.
We haven't really changed.
No, which I respect. And Sean has them. I'm about to call Tommy out in a second, but hold on.
I'm surprised.
Sean should. We'll get to him in a second.
Yeah.
And Sean has them finishing 7-9-1.
Yes. That's a good year. 7-9-1.
Now let's get in the corner and wait for a second, Tommy.
Tommy. I'll never forget Friday, American Dream, the crowd is there, and you gave us issues when we asked you to make a prediction because you said, I want to make two. I want to make one in which Russell Wilson is the guy, and one in which you get your way, and you were ahead of us, start Dart, right? Well, Dart's the starter, so you're sticking with your Russell Wilson prediction.
What was my Jackson Dart prediction?
11 wins!
Well, where is the producer telling me about this? I forgot I did that. I thought I only had one prediction, which got booed, by the way, 6 wins. I didn't. The producers did not tell me here, we have several of them, that I did a Jackson Dart prediction. So I have 11 wins?
9-2, that means.
All right, so let's put me down for 9-2 for the rest of the season. Thank you.
All right. So now we have Tommy down for 4-7 and 9-2.
Yes.
Once he was notified. But Jackson Dart, your guy, you told us to start Dart the entire year.
I totally forgot about the 11 wins. All right, but again, now we know. Thank you for reminding me. You should have reminded me beforehand. 9-2 the rest of the way.
I honestly didn't remember until like Tiki and I locked eyes and were like, wait a second, something feels off about Tommy right now. I can't put my finger on it.
Because I remember the start Dart thing.
Yeah.
Remember, you weren't allowed to wear it.
And the best part is, so we have a wall here in the FAN studios where I like to honor certain things. So we have a beautiful picture of Tiki Barber running over the overrated Ryan Clark. We have a picture of a t-shirt that we made a year ago for Tommy, an old tweet that he had that
Jalen
was made
Brunson
into a shirt.
Is a good player. He's not great. This would be typical Knicks. Never ends. One shirts that I sold on the plaza outside Barclays Center.
Right. Yeah.
We didn't do it in the city.
And earlier today, we finally installed the official Start Dart piece of paper that Tommy would wear on his chest.
Start Dart.
In the days leading up and months leading up to starting Jackson Dart. It was such a great message. Tommy forgot all about it.
Mm-hmm. Start Dart. And this is not a Garrett Cole situation. That's the actual sign, the original sign. It's not a Fugazi one.
There are definitely enough wrinkles on the sign where it is completely legitimate. Let's go to Angelo calling from Long Island. What's up, Angelo?
Hey, guys. Huge fan of the show. I got two things to say. Number one, I feel like...
Oh, good. I gotta let you go, but I understand your point.
He basically said everybody's going to say that the Giants beat a bad Eagles team, who just have issues going on. They can't run the ball. Their offensive line's getting old. yada, 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 whatnot, whatnot. And then if they go out and they beat the Denver Broncos, people are going to say, oh, the Denver Broncos just came back from London and they got to get reacclimated to the altitude and they didn't take the bye week and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. They're just going to make excuses for why the Giants are winning as opposed to giving the Giants credit.
I can't answer for every single person who has an opinion. I can answer for myself. And while I pissed off, what's his name again? Sonny and Malvern. Mm-hmm. By being too negative on the Giants, and you may still think I am too negative on the Giants, I can promise you this. I didn't say a damn word trying to negate that victory over the Chargers. I didn't say a damn word negating that victory over the Eagles. Right. And I can promise you this, just for me, as someone who still doesn't believe in the Giants, I will not come in here on Monday and negate the victory because of the travel.
How could you?
This is football.
It's football, right. Everybody has circumstances that are not great.
Of course. It's football. Like, you win the games. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how it happens. You win the games. And if you beat the Chargers at home, which you did, and you spanked the Eagles at home, which you did, and now you go to Denver where it ain't easy to play football, and I don't care if they traveled from Antarctica, and you beat that team, that's a win. So if anyone tries to minimize that, you have two choices. You can just walk away, or you can verbally slap them. And by verbally slap them, don't actually slap them. That seems like a weird thing to do over sports. But verbally, tell them to go take a long
bunch
walk.
Bunch of bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. I also don't like the notion of, well, the Eagles, they were in shambles. The Eagles have been arguing with each other all year and winning those games.
Of course.
The Giants.
The Eagles are a good team.
Right. The Giants
are just flawed. But everybody is flawed.
Everybody's flawed. But the Giants.
The Bills are flawed.
Exactly. And I would argue.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have the most wins in the NFC, are flawed.
So perfect answer.
You know how many
Falcons.
Fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives Baker Mayfield has?
Four. Right. Because
four. Last drive of games, four of those games, the Bucs were losing and maybe could have lost. So it's just like, it's football these days.
Football. And the Giants are part of the reason they're in turmoil. It's not, you know what I mean? It works both ways. Right. You can't discount the Giant win. I won't stand for that. That was the win of the century. I'm not going to have it poo-pooed. Oh,
the win of the century.
Well, this century.
I mean, geez.
Maybe decade.
Whatever. How long's the century?
That'd be 25 years, dude. The turn of the century?
That would include several Super Bowls.
That includes a lot.
No, then not the win of the century.
Win of the decade? Yeah. You can't even say win of the decade.
He's confusing his multiples of 10.
But even if he goes win of the decade, like you won a playoff game on the road.
Yeah, that was pre-Brian Flores Vikings. This is different now.
Come on.
Super Bowl champs.
You can't do that.